You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 414. Today is Sunday, August 12th, 2018, and my name is Steve. No Ham tonight, but I'm joined by Curtis. And before we start, please, everyone, help out the podcast by subscribing, writing a review, sharing links on Twitter and Facebook. If you don't do it, our starting pitchers will keep giving up RBI hits to opposing starting pitchers. Really, so much. It seems like we should take advantage of that free pass.
Right.
But, yes. Okay. All right, so in tonight's show, we'll discuss the case for this team playing meaningful games at the end of September. We'll go inside the numbers to look at Gausman's last start, Tukey's promotion, and some of the offensive numbers from the team from the All-Star break. But first, a quick break. All right, so Curtis, as we record this, it's about 6 o'clock Sunday night. The Braves have beaten Milwaukee in Game 3, so the Braves are half a game out of first. The Phillies are losing 5-0, getting late in San Diego. So, you know, the Braves could well be tied for first when we're done, when Sunday finishes up. I mean, Curtis, there's no denying this has been a magical season. But undoubtedly, this team has warts, and this team has holes. The starting pitching is, you know, somewhat of a concern. There's holes, right? But let's still make the case that they will be in the hunt for a playoff spot in the end of September. And I'm gonna start with some of the sort of squishy stuff in that they've been around this long. I mean, it's August 12th. And whenever someone needs to step up or something needs to sort of get stabilized, it has. You know, there is magic with this team. Even what seemed really grim heading into the All-Star break, you know, has stabilized. The offense has come back to life. The moves that Anthopoulos made have really shored up the bullpen. I mean, the team feels better than it did those last 2 weeks heading into the All-Star break, don't you think?
Yeah, and it seems like the moves have also energized the team. They seemed a little flat, and maybe the record is not as great as would indicate, but I mean, they definitely seem like there's energy back with the team, that they had sort of started to lag and seemed to drag. And I think that the guys that they brought in have brought energy, that they're excited to be part of a pennant race, and it is carried over to the team itself. And I mean, games like today on Sunday give me hope that, you know, this is a team that's never out of it. With the top four, top five guys that we have in our lineup, I'm throwing Camargo in there now because how can you not?
Yeah, but he just keeps producing.
I mean, that top five is as good as any in baseball. And so they produce and they get hit big hits and big hits, all the two out hits that they've had all weekend long in this series.
And all year long. I mean, their offense, you know, two out offense has been top of the league all year.
And, you know, some of those things you feel like it's certainly luck, but they are making those things happen. You can feel that when they're in those situations, it's not a situation that they're getting tense in, that they're thriving in those opportunities. I think with the pitching, the starting pitching in particular, there's definitely some concerns about some guys maybe wearing down. Newcomb on Sunday was not good at all. But with the sort of six-man rotation they're throwing out there, you feel like you're going to get four good starts out of six, I feel like, because a guy will bounce back. Tehran will have a great start, or Folty would have a great start, or Newcomb will have a great start. Sanchez seems like he always has good starts.
Yeah, if Anibal doesn't continue to get hit by line drives, you know, he's been nothing but good.
Yeah, we won't know what would happen if Fried and Sanchez have been able to pitch more than four innings combined. In that Washington series. The bullpen is definitely deeper. The bench is a lot deeper with Duvall added. even though he really hasn't done much. But I mean, if you're pulling Inciarte off the bench when he's starting, Culberson is continuing to throw miracles on the field every single time. So, yeah, I mean, you feel like that there is a team that is really good and that, that they can continue this run going forward, even with a tough schedule that remains out there for them.
I mean, this week has been a great microcosm, right? That the start of the doubleheader in Washington that started this week, the first game is a nightmare. You know, the new guys in the bullpen are thrown out as sort of sacrificial lambs. And then Newcomb matches Scherzer in the nightcap. They win. Unbelievable, right? The Gausman start, incredible against Milwaukee on Friday. And then the offense just going berserk. Saturday night's game, I was at Saturday night's game, and they could have easily won that if, I mean, there was just a, you know, the Biddle play at first obviously doesn't go their way. You know, Winkler reaches out for that ball that should have been a double play, but he knocks it into no man's land. Braun, 49 times out of 50, does not catch that ball. But he does and changes the course of the game, right? And then Sunday's finale, I mean, Dansby hitting a .150 the last month to hit that two-run homer and Albies to hit the go-ahead. Brock and Minter going 8-9. You know, I mean, that's like, that's our 8-9, you know, unless it's Brock, Biddle, and Minter 7-8-9, and this all without Vizcaino. I mean, it was really a great week, you know, to start like they did and to finish like they did. I mean, what a terrific week.
Yeah, it's Sunday's game. Who knows? But it feels like this will be, because the Brewers are really good, and the Braves just sort of kept stepping in it today. But to give up 19 hits and still come away with the win today, it just seems so gutty. You know, it's filled with cliches, but to pull this win off today, and you're going to get the Marlins now, who are really one of the worst teams in baseball record wise, and they're sort of shedding pieces. Who knows how much they're going to continue to be interested in playing baseball. Hopefully, as long as they continue to play the Phillies, they will be committed to it as much as possible. The Rockies are going to be hard at the end of the week. But, yeah, I mean, this is a massive momentum game that you hope carries over this week. And, I mean, looking at the Phillies as part of this this aspect is, you know, I mean, the Phillies are, they're not good enough to just go and run away from the Braves. The Braves don't have these long losing streaks. I know they had that one when they went to Milwaukee after coming off the New York, the Yankees series, which was tough, but I mean, it's not like that was their first four game losing streak of the season. I think they just don't lose in big gaps.
Yeah.
And I know you can look at the fact that the Phillies, maybe their schedule is a little softer because they get the Mets a ton. But I mean, they right now, they're 3-5 against the Mets. So it's not like they're killing the Mets. They're basically .500 against Washington. They're 6-4, but they've both scored 51 runs in those 10 games against each other. So that's a wash. So, you know, those are two of the teams that they get a lot. And even Miami, who they play, you know, they're only three games up in the 13 games that they played Miami. So it's not like that they're just dominating the three NL East, the other three NL East teams. And we're 5-7.
In a way that we are.
They're 5-7 against us. So they get a lot of NL East, but it's not like they're just lapping the field on the NL East at all.
Yeah.
And they have a crazy four-game road trip to Colorado right after they come to Atlanta. So that is their last road trip, is the trip to Atlanta. And then they have to go out to Colorado for four games, which will be brutal because you got to figure Colorado is still going to be in it. So hopefully that wears them out. And then we get them in the last series in Philadelphia at the end of the year.
Yeah. You know, we haven't talked about the offense, which has found its footing again, and Acuna in the leadoff spot. I mean, he was inserted in the leadoff spot on July 20th. And not counting Sunday's finale where he hit another homer, he's slashing .316, .372, .671. Again, it's all hits. Like, he doesn't walk, you know. But he just, you know, gets two hits every game and a lot of extra base hits and five stolen bases too. No caught stealing. Like you said, the top five, man, a lot of stuff happens, and they're scoring early in games, which is what they did at the start of the year. You know, we didn't even get to our seats Saturday night, and Acuna hit that home run. Yeah, it's just there's a lot of sort of good signs.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just the whole team is deeper, and to do it all that Anthopoulos did, and to give up what he did to, you know, I mean, make moves to help your team this year, and maybe, I mean, obviously going forward next year with Gausman added to the rotation, and then have not given up anything, and still have the capacity to go and sign free agents to really just round the team out next year. I mean, it's commendable, to say the least.
All right, Curtis, let's move on to inside the numbers and look at some performances and headlines. So first up, three numbers, 8, 8, and 1. That's 8 innings, 8 strikeouts, and 1 earned run for Kevin Gausman. So aside from the results, right, I love that already 2 pieces of coaching from the new staff here in Atlanta, or for, you know, for him, have already seemed to yield like big results for him. So one, right, Chuck Hernandez, after Gausman said he felt better pitching from the stretch during a bullpen session earlier this week, Hernandez was like, well, just do that the whole time in the game, which he did. And then this, which I almost find hard to believe. So I'm gonna give you Gausman's entire quote. Gausman, after the game Friday night, said, quote, I knew I was filling up the strike zone early. That's one of the biggest things they said when I got here. We're big believers in getting ahead. They showed me the numbers when you don't. It kind of makes you want to throw up. I kind of took that into account tonight and just tried to pound the zone. So basically, the Braves were like, do what you need to be comfortable on the mound. And also, by the way, throw strikes.
Yeah.
And the dude goes out and goes 8 and gives up 1 run. You know, I mean, I don't expect Gausman to be that guy every time, but the whole untapped potential underachiever, I am so ready to believe that he's going to be way better than he ever was in his career here.
So was Baltimore like, be as uncomfortable as you possibly can be and throw a bunch of balls?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were like, don't give him anything to hit at the start of the at-bat.
That's a weird philosophy.
All right, Curtis, next up, 2.82. That's Touki Toussaint's ERA over his 92-plus innings in the minor leagues this year. And it was a 2.3 ERA in his 5 starts for the Stripers. So the team announced that Touki is making his debut in the first game of the doubleheader on Monday with the Marlins. I mean, Kurt, I can't wait. You know, good fastball, devastating curveball. He's got a changeup. I mean, it's going to be exciting. You get sort of a somewhat low-pressure start in a game where there's going to be nobody, you know, Monday afternoon at the stadium. I mean, another piece of the future is here.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I guess I'm curious that why Allard was still around in the bullpen. I mean, it seems like they would have sent him back down, and maybe I missed something as to why he's still here.
They brought him back up, I think, on Saturday this weekend, really just to be there to cover innings.
Yeah, I guess with the 8 games this week and the doubleheader, maybe they get to carry an extra pitcher. Is that?
Well, on Monday, they'll have a 26th, but he's part of the 25-man rotation. We don't know who's going to be called up for the 26th.
Gotcha. But yeah, regardless, I mean, it's awesome to see all these young guys that we've been waiting on for so long. I mean, Touki was
part of the what's his name? Bronson
Arroyo?
Yeah, Bronson Arroyo, exactly. The Bronson Arroyo money dump by the Diamondbacks. We covered Arroyo's salary.
And they got like Phil Gosselin or something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's right. And Touki was the piece we got back. And my God, I mean, it is going to pay off. I saw, it may have been in Bowman's article, or maybe something on The Athletic, talking about, you know, this may be the deal that they regret even more. So we shall see. All right, Curtis, next up, the number 18. So that's Freddie Freeman's home run total this year. He has 3 home runs since July 1st. Do you think he gets to 25 before the end of the year?
I do. I feel like there will be some sort of spasm of power that he will... I think that right now it seems like he's really deliberately forcing teams to not shift so much on him, because it seems like he's going to left a ton. He did it again today, at least once. And so, I mean, that's just sort of the way that he bats, is that he's just determined to spray it all over the field. But I bet there's a stretch where he hits some home runs, a bunch of home runs in a bunch.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's not like he's not hitting. I think he had two doubles on Sunday. His hit right. streak is extended to 13, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, exactly. It's his whole, all he's doing is trying to hit a line drive the opposite way. And home runs go out. But I agree. I mean, there's 6 weeks to go. It seems like one per week plus a little extra is not, out of the question. All right, Curtis, next up, the number 9, and that's the number of hits Dansby has had since the All-Star break. That's over 64 plate appearances, not counting Sunday. And we can ignore his heroics on Sunday, but heading into Sunday, he has a slash line since the All-Star break was over of 158, 222, 228. 228 slugging.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been pretty grim, but... you know, if the rest of the offense hums along, they can sort of carry that, you know, because he gives you so much defensively.
Yeah, and that was another point that I had jotted down that I didn't even bring up, is the defense of the Braves. I mean, we saw that game the other night when Culberson and Camargo both had errors, but the defense of the Braves is really good, one of the best defenses in Major League Baseball. So you hope that will play a big role in their sustained success. And of course, Dansby is right at the top there with how good of a defensive player he is.
Right. And that defense helping Gausman, helping Brock, guys who are used to, you know, guys with concrete blocks on their hands behind them.
Right. Sure.
All right. Last but not least, 759. That's Ender's OPS since the All-Star break, which, you know, is not terrible for a guy who was completely in the tank. Since the All-Star break, Ender's slash is 304, 310, 449. I mean, it's another reason for optimism down the stretch, is that Ender is not a stiff anymore, and he's starting to hit, you know?
Do you think that not that you would ever know this, so I don't even know why I pose it that way, but maybe the Duvall trade, not only to shore up the bullpen, I mean, the bench, but maybe to sort of shake Ender?
Well, I think you're totally covered if you're the front office when you do it, right? You're like, we get right-handed power, we can platoon Ender. Oh, and if it lights a fire under Ender, that's all good too. You know what I mean? It's really just like, it all works.
Right.
Now, if Duvall would actually hit, it would work better.
Yeah, that's sort of the one aspect of all the moves that has not really come to fruition yet. But
yeah, and hopefully, you know, I mean, Gabe said last week that he thinks the Duvall thing's going to be maybe the biggest move of them all. So we'll see. It would be nice for him to come back. And we're going to talk about it in the week ahead. Only one lefty starting pitcher in the 8 games coming up. So not going to be a lot of Duvall, maybe some pinch hit appearances.
Yeah, but I mean, he could totally walk into a 2-run homer coming off the bench too. So
absolutely. I mean, that's another reason why he's here.
Yeah.
All right, Curtis, speaking of optimism, it's time to bring it back. And frankly, it's probably overdue. Yes, the postseason hope meter, where on a scale of 1 to 10, we give our rating of how likely we think it is that the Braves will make it to the postseason, and that includes the one-game wild card playoff. And, Kurt, it's kind of funny, thinking back, you know, over the last few years, that we have had the postseason hope meter over the last few years, which is just a joke, really.
And one year, I think we did it for a week.
Well, sure. But this is like legitimate postseason hope meter territory for the first time in a long time. So Hammy is at a 6 because he's the worst.
Maybe not.
Oh, okay. You're like, hold my beer?
Yeah.
All right. So, Kurt,
hold my beer in my ABT koozie that I won last week.
That's right. That's right. So what do you got?
I'm a 5. I was basically a 6, but I'm sort of right below that. I think that it's pretty much a 50-50 proposition with us and the Phillies. And I'm worried that regardless, there's only one team out of the East getting into the playoffs, even the one game play-in. So I think it's really going to come down to whoever wins the East is the team that's making the playoffs. And we do have a tough schedule that's left this year. So I'm a five.
All right.
Strong five. Strong optimistic five. Half full.
All right. I'm an eight. And look, everything you said is 100% right. I mean, it's just 150% right. But I'm banking on the magic. I mean, I just think this team's got some magic, and that's going to, you know, be a part of it. And if they can handle their business, particularly with all those games with the Phillies at the end of the season, you know, they're in. So we shall see.
Yeah, right. I know this is dumb to say because it's quite obvious, but I want us to sort of get back in front of the Phillies and get a couple of games in front of the Phillies and see how the Phillies respond. I mean, we were up for so long and they've been playing out of their minds since they've sort of taken over the East lead. So I sort of want to take that back from them and then see if they sort of they gave it their all and then they sort of fall apart. So
okay,
hopefully that's coming.
Yeah, let me think about that for a second. Yes, I agree with you. I would like that to happen too.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, Curtis, next up is Shot in the Dark, but first, a quick break. All right, Shot in the Dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just concluded, and we'll begin with our listener shots in the dark, and we've got two this week. So first up, Caleb Cabo, I'm sure I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, he predicted that the Braves would lead for at least an inning in every game this week. And sorry, Caleb, because you only made it to the first inning of the second game of the week. Where the Nationals took a one-run lead in the bottom of the first.
We call that a ham.
Yeah, and that Newcomb Scherzer game, but a very cool prediction. I liked it. All right, so next up, Brave Pack predicted that during the doubleheader that started this past week in Washington, that Fried and Newcomb would strike out more and walk less batters than Rodriguez and Scherzer. So Fried and Newcomb combined for 8 strikeouts and 3 walks. Rodriguez and Scherzer notched 9 strikeouts and 2 walks. So damn close, but not quite. All right.
Yeah, maybe if Fried had gone more than 2 innings.
Well, right. Or if he'd gone more than 2 innings, he could have walked more too. You know, it was a bit of a...
Sure.
Yeah. All right, let's see how the three of us did. So I predicted that Adam Duvall would hit 2 homers this week. And given that Duvall hit 1 single all week, that would be a no for me. Ham predicted that the Braves would sweep the Nats and that the Braves would get swept by the Brewers. And no on that one. We, of course, split in Washington, took 2 of 3 from the Brewers. And Kurt, you predicted that Acuna and Albies would bat over 350 and hit 4 homers. And I realized I didn't do the math on that. I have no idea if that's true.
Huh. Interesting.
So we're going to have to go back. We're going to have to go back and score that later. We'll tweet it out tomorrow and see if you won. I mean, God, Acuna,
they had to have hit 4 home runs.
They had to have hit 4 homers. I mean, Acuna hit 2 the last 2 days, and Albies hit 1. The batting average may get you. I don't think Albies hit that well this week.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, dude. It's just I'm still bitter about you actually getting your first one last week.
On a technicality, no less.
Well. Right. No, I felt gracious last week, and now I'm small. And
not so much. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
I understand.
All right. So let's see what we have this week. So Ham texted his in. He predicts that the Braves staff, the starters and relief corps, give up less than 20 earned all week over 8 games. So that's a good one. We'll see. I predict that Albies is going to go on a home run tear and hit 3 home runs this week. And Curtis, what do you got?
Well, once again, I'm doing this, and I think I did the calculations right with the Phillies and us over the week, because they play one fewer game than we do, that we will be 2.5 games up on the Phillies by the end of the week.
All right. I love it. All right, folks, remember, you get to play each week, too, so don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch Monday this week, an early game, of course, the doubleheader with Florida. On Monday, get those in via Twitter, and if we pick yours and you hit it exactly, you could win an Atlanta Baseball Talk koozie. All right, so Curtis, let's look at this week ahead. 8 games in 7 days, all at home. 4 with the Marlins, 4 with the Rockies, and let's look at the pitching matchups. So first up, Touki Toussaint makes his major league debut and will face righty Pablo Lopez in his 432. In the nightcap, Folty will oppose righty Mirandy Gonzalez in his 571. Not much pitching that first day. On Tuesday, if all goes as planned, Anibal Sanchez will return to the mound and he'll face righty Trevor Richards and his 398. And then finishing up with Florida, Kevin Gausman gets back on the mound. He'll face Jose Urania and his 474. So the only pitcher that the Braves have faced from Florida in this series is Urania that they knocked around for five runs. All righties in the Marlins series, Kurt. So a lot of Ender to start the week. Next up, the Rockies will, next up, the Braves face the Rockies. Julio starts things off against righty John Gray in his 481. Next game, Sean Newcomb faces lefty Kyle Freeland in his 302. It's the only lefty of the week. The Braves touched up Freeland for three earned in early April. In game three, Folty will see righty Chad Bettis in his 540, but Bettis always plays the Braves tough. At least the last couple years, Bettis gave up one earned in April against the Braves. And closing out the week, Anibal Sanchez should get his second start of the week and face righty Herman Marquez and his 4.69 ERA. The Braves roughed up Marquez for seven earned in early April. So, yeah, one lefty this week, lots of Ender, not a lot of amazing ERAs that the Braves are facing. Kurt, what do you think this week?
Well, for us to be 2.5 games up on the Phillies, we've got to win a lot of games this week. So I am going 6-2, 3-1, 3-1.
That's exactly my thought, too. 3-1, 3-1. And Kurt, as we're wrapping things up here, it is heading to the top of the eighth in San Diego. The Phillies are down 6-0 now. So
nice.
If all things hold, the Braves will be tied for first as they head into that doubleheader with the Marlins on Monday. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. As always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.